The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I want to make sure we have enough time to do some of the Barry Alvarez show clips that Jesse has had on the rundown for the last couple days.
You sure? We pushed it off all week already.
No, I want to do that. We're going to go quickly here because Matt LaFleur is at the podium. And he has said a few things during his time there while we're here. First of all, he delivered a "we'll see" when asked if Christian Watson will debut on Sunday. LaFleur said he has looked great in 11-on-11 stuff, per Matt Schneidman's tweet. Again, in talking with Christian Watson yesterday, and Tausch, tell me if this is... Tell me if I'm reading too much into this, okay?
Probably.
Hey, look, it would not be the first time I was guilty of this, okay?
Okay.
I had asked him, you know, if this week is realistic and what in his mind what his timeline is. His response was, "I'm excited. I can't wait. At the same time, obviously, the first conversation we had, thinking about when to come back, was just to do it the right way. I think it would help to be able to stack multiple weeks of practice. I've got an idea of how I'm feeling in my head, but at the same time, I'm just relaying everything to the training staff, the doctors, and really leaving it up to them."
Mm.
That sounds to me like they're not rushing him back, even though he's practicing. Am I wrong to think that way?
No, you're right. And I think you're going to see him in that Carolina game at home. That's where I think you're going to see him.
From what I hear, the Pittsburgh field is terrible. I believe the quarterback had a few thoughts on that.
I think Roethlisberger said something about the Pittsburgh University should not be playing there. They need their own stadium. And I agree with Ben. You're a billion-dollar operation. Figure this out, man. Like, you can't be playing on slop. We all know rain happens, but you can't have a game on a Saturday and then go play a professional game on a Sunday. You can't do that. It's absurd.
It is
so
indeed.
So I agree, and I would think there's just something, you know, there's more comfort, a comfort level. I think, as I said way back when, that November 2nd game was going to be the target date, and I would think that that's when you listen to what he has to say. Couple weeks stacking practices. He's been doing it now for a couple weeks, though.
Last week was the first week. This is week two.
I hope he gets out. Well, didn't he do something during the bye week, too?
No. He was activated coming back from the bye, the Monday after the bye.
So it's been, this is his second week.
Correct.
Yeah, it'll be Carolina. I feel pretty good about that.
Which, checking my calendar, is after Halloween. Secondly,
you can listen to my clip. I was very specific with what I said.
Secondly,
very specific.
Check the tape. Secondly, Matt LaFleur says Brandon McManus is day to day. He would not kick today anyway. They don't kick on Thursdays. They kick on Wednesdays and Fridays. Quoting from Wes Hodquitz, "I don't moonlight as a kicking coach. That's why I said I was concerned. Would I like to see him kick throughout the week? Yeah, but he's been doing this for a while." And finally, Matt LaFleur on officials not calling holding on Micah Parsons, which we talked about earlier in the week as well. "You send stuff into the league occasionally. That's definitely going to be a conversation pregame." So, Tausch, when he works the refs, he's going to be saying, "Hey, dude, keep an eye on number one. I know if
What's
he
up?
Had a double-digit yeah. number, you'd see it more often, but he's getting held a lot."
Yeah. Coaches maneuvering refs works. It works in Little League. It works in high school. It works in college, and it works in the pros. So they're going to continue to do it. That's why they do it. It can be annoying, but you have to continue to fight for your players when you feel like stuff is happening. And Matt LaFleur, I've been very critical of sometimes he's overly emotional. I want him working the refs on this because Micah has been getting held at a pretty high clip.
Your guy, Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheets, resharing one of the tweets from the press conference and saying that the Cowboys know this feeling. They complained about it many times over the years. Seems to me that that is a I would be very irritated if I was a coach who had an elite pass rusher, because there's non-elite pass rushers that are just really good actors and they do the flailing thing.
Oh, I hate that. Za'Darius is really good at it. He'd flop. That's the stuff that it drives you nuts as an O lineman and as
a
coach.
I bet.
But they teach him that, and it. By the way, it works. That's why they do it.
So maybe we need a little more Micah flopping. But again, he's so good that there are times when you think the rep is over, and then suddenly he pops out of a double team and he's right on top of the quarterback. So he's got to learn to be more of a flopper. You need to learn that if you make the switch to Associated Bank, you will get the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove that. But whether it's early pay, whether it's credit monitoring, whether it's fraud protection, or whether it's Packers, Brewers, or Badgers checking, and we got an event we got cooking up later this next month in November with Associated Bank as well. Just make the switch. I know it's a pain. I know you're thinking, oh, I don't want to change my accounts, my auto pays. They make it easy. They made it easy for us, and they'll make it easy for you as well. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The Jesse Nelson Show featuring Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Barry Alvarez. We will hear from the Jesse Nelson Show live from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
That's rude.
Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You got to make me change my mind.
Jesse, I'm sorry. Did you think it was rude of me to refer to this program that you do weekly as the Jesse Nelson Show?
Yeah. That is not the name of the show.
So just to be clear, when Go Boo in a Bar got a million views.
Go Boo in a Bar.
Did you say?
I think it was a million and a half, wasn't it, John?
Yeah, 1.4 last I checked, yeah.
Yeah. Did you say Barry Alvarez went viral? Or did you say, and I'm quoting now,
he didn't.
Viral.
I went viral on the Barry Alvarez show.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what you said. I went viral.
Yeah. So again.
On the Barry Alvarez show.
And then I believe, Jason, didn't he continue to talk because he did something else that went viral? He said, I've been viral all week, and that's what I told him to get some penicillin.
At the volleyball match, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a big one, yeah.
And I went viral. I'm very viral. A lot of viral.
That.
I. That's you.
Could use another
Jesse
thing here in the next few days. We haven't been viral in a couple of weeks. Gotta,
well, Brusty went.
Maybe you
Brusty
should question
pretty viral
the effort level of the Milwaukee Brewers. That seems to work. All right, Jesse, do you have like special? Do you have like the opening montage that they? I hope they still play it at Badgers games. I always enjoy this with the U2 song in the background and Barry Alvarez saying, you better get your tickets now because for long, there won't be any. The Barry Alvarez Show hosted by Jesse Nelson with some interesting tidbits this week. Jesse, take it away.
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This? On Wilde and Tausch.
The Barry Alvarez edition of Did You Hear This? That's right.
The Jesse
Barry Alvarez
Nelson
Show
edition
this week. Coach had some interesting things to say, and they are picking up some steam on social media. We've seen throughout the course of the week as they've been released. We did do the show right before game one of the NLCS, so you know, it got buried a little bit. No pun intended.
Buried.
Yeah, did. Here is what the head coach or former head coach or former director of athletics or Badgers legend had to say about Wisconsin's 37-0 loss to the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday night.
They showed up to play. And to see us out of the game in the first quarter.
Before the game. We're getting penalties before the game.
Yeah, well, I don't even want to get started there, but let's talk about us playing. But that's a good point, Derek, very good point. When you don't have the discipline and some player who probably doesn't even touch the field gets a penalty, I'd have sent his fanny home right there. He'd have been off the field packing. I mean, that's just – that is not – we're not all about that. He should have been trained and known a hell of a lot more than to do anything close to that. But to not even be competitive and out of the game in the first quarter, man, that's hard to fathom. And, boy, it was disheartening to watch that.
Anytime Barry says fanny, which he's good for one or two of those a year on this show, that's gold. He's right, though, right? Like, that was a real tone setter before kickoff even happened, picking up a 15-yard penalty pregame, which really made the rest of the performance all the more disheartening, I thought was a good adjective that Coach used to describe the performance on Saturday night.
This is always a fine line that I think coaches are always trying to figure out, because you got embarrassed down in Iowa City last year, and you've made it very well known that you kind of emptied your bucket for this game with the push-ups and the photos around the complex and just the reminder of we're training all offseason for this. And you want guys to bring a lot of juice to the table, but you have to stay within the rules of it. And I thought it did set a tone that wasn't great on Wisconsin's side, because we couldn't control our emotions. And it ended up, you know, I just remember Iowa won the toss and they took the ball, and I was surprised, because I had not seen the flag yet, or I did, but I don't know if they had announced what happened. And I thought it might just be like an offsetting deal. But then when Iowa took the ball, they took the ball because of that penalty. And was that the reason we didn't win the game? Obviously not. But it did start kind of that ball rolling down the hill. And Barry, you know, kind of talking about sending guys and fannies and all this other stuff. You need to make sure you have everybody bought in. And I think last week, this, and I said this on the broadcast, it reminded me on a lesser scale, when we would play, when Favre went up to Minnesota, and we were all amped up.
Yeah.
And everything put in, and it ended up hurting us.
Well,
because we were too, instead of just playing ball, I think we let those emotions get the better of us and get out of character. Now, again, I don't think it would have mattered the way the game shook out on Saturday, but I understood Barry's point on that.
Yeah, he's it's I appreciate that he is the GOAT when it comes to Wisconsin football coaches. He is a legend. I am glad we have him every week. I would really be curious. It would be nice if the Badgers were in a different place, because I think it would be really interesting to get his thoughts on things when they're humming or when they're having some ups and downs. It's starting to be the same. He's starting to run out of conversations, because now he doesn't want to tell people not to come to the games. He doesn't want to tell them, go boo in a bar. He doesn't want to do that. So now, and then they go out
there. Sounds like the host needs to come up with some different angles to get Barry maybe in a different direction.
Well, I asked him, tough to go boo in a bar when the bars on Regent Street turned the game off at halftime to turn the Brewers game on.
It's a pretty good line. You were proud of that, weren't you?
Proud of that.
The Jesse Nelson show.
Thank you.
So my point is that he's in a spot where, and I want him to be honest, man. I don't, again, as we said at the time, in my opinion, when things are going poorly, I don't think it behooves you to tell your fans, we don't want you to come if you're going to boo. Because you want them coming. And you don't want them to be apathetic. And you don't want this to become what it was before you got here, which is what it was in the Don Morton era. At the same time, he really is in a tough spot because he says what he does about the booing, and then he kind of, you know, he tries to walk it back or at least soften the blow. And then a team that, as you pointed out, Tausch, had put all of its eggs into its Hawkeye basket. Like, these guys called us a bunch of cream puffs and they whipped us last year. And this was the red circle on the calendar game. And to get run out of your own gym and to have, let's be honest, the quarterbacking, you never had a chance to win with the way that game started. It was over shortly after it started. So Barry's in a spot where what do you want him to say? I thought that answer was pretty good, frankly, given the parameters of what he's dealing with. But 37-0, when I was talking with Christian Welch earlier in the week, and he said, oh, we got our own problems. He was not trash-talking Wisconsin at all. I noticed on yesterday when I saw him, he smirked and said, yeah, that was embarrassing for you guys.
So do you have to go to the? Do you have to go to the car show with him?
We never did manage to connect on the Iola car show wager.
Dressed as Herbie Hawkeye, you have to go to the car show.
That would have been something.
Did you hear this?
We know Paul would be on board with that. That we do know.
Hang on. Where'd it go?
Put the picture on.
Jesse's only saying hang on because he wants to put that on the video.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
I know exactly what was going on.
Yeah, couldn't find it. All right. You get to critique my question asking on this one.
Oh, great.
That's my favorite.
Last one here. You'll hear how I set up the question. It's about establishing an identity, what Christian Allegro said after the game.
When you have a player, and Coach, I'll ask you this first. When you have a player, especially a leader on the defensive side of the ball like Christian Allegro is, and he says he doesn't know what the identity of the team is. That was one of the things that he mentioned since the conclusion of the game on Saturday night.
A huge red flag when that's coming from your leader.
I'm sure it's a major red flag, but where do you even start? If you as a head coach hear one of your players say that, what do you do first?
I'd call a staff meeting immediately. And I'd address some things because, I mean, it's too damn late now. Are you going to start establish an identity? You're into the season. You're into conference play.
We're halfway home.
That has to happen in the off season, in two-a-days, preseason. That's how you establish identity. What do you mean you don't have an established identity? Our guys will tell you right now, our identity was we're going to be physical. Because they were physical every day. And then we'd review it after practice in the evening. And you weren't going to play or you weren't going to come close to the field unless you'd mix it up and you were.
Yeah, look, they have an identity. Tausch, I'm leaving you out of this. Their identity is they're not very good. This idea that, oh, we don't have an identity. Yeah, good teams establish an identity. We're really tough defensively. We run the ball well. We're very physical. We have an elite quarterback who can make every throw. Those are all identities. This is an identity, too, unfortunately. We're not very good. We don't do the little things right, and we don't do the big things right. You don't want to have that identity, but having watched their games and listen to Tausch and Matt LePay on the call with my Varsity app, I don't like what I've seen, but there's an identity there. It's just not one you want. Sorry.
Jason?
No, I thought you were leaving me out of this. I thought you were going to keep going.
No, I was.
This season, and again, You lose your quarterback. There's always excuses, and there's always ways you can look at it. But the bottom line is this season has just gone off the rails, especially as of late. And in today's climate, with guys transferring in and out, it's just so important to get that going and to have that started so that guys buy in, because it's tough, man, as a coach and as a staff. You know, Barry mentioned it. Back in Barry's day, guys were always going to be bought in. You didn't have a choice. You were going to be bought in. Now there are more options, and it's a lot easier. And when Gardo joined us a few years ago, it was one of his big complaints about the NCAA system.
Yep.
You hit a little adversity, deuces. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but what I am saying is this group right now, with all of the quarterback play and all of the different things, the line changes and everything else, offensively, you can't beat anybody by averaging 6.7.
You could, but you could always have 6 or 7 Coors Lights afterward, and maybe you'd feel better then.
Well, no doubt about that. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win, like out in L.A. tonight, let's go! You just want to have a moment to chill. Crack open at Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light, brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, at Golden, Colorado.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time for me to fly.
No, it hurts to say goodbye. REO Speedwagon, I've got one of their playlists on Spotify. Not only I can get my own show on Spotify.
Ah.
Time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Old man football tonight on Thursday Night Football. If you're not watching the Milwaukee Brewers and the Los Angeles Dodgers, or after the Brewers and Dodgers are done.
Yeah.
For the second time in NFL history, a matchup of 2 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks in Aaron...
Brady and Breeze.
Brady
and Breeze.
Yeah,
that
was it. Yeah, it was Brady and Breeze. That was
he stole his thunder.
The entire thing I was building up to was who was the other matchup besides Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I thought
Rodgers
it was a trivia question.
Yeah,
it felt trivia-ish to me.
You jumped. Yeah, I didn't finish. I'm Trebek. I was didn't finish saying the question, and you just buzzed in and said it.
But I didn't say who is, so I'm not eligible.
I don't think you can buzz. Don't you? Isn't that part of the? Isn't that part of Jeopardy?
Yeah,
you can't buzz in until he's finished the last word of the question.
That's what made Jeopardy James so good. He practiced timing up the buzzer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
It was Drew Brees and Tom Brady thrice when Brady was with the Buccaneers and Brees was with the Saints.
So tonight I assume it's Bengals-Steelers?
Correct. Thursday Night Football.
No, yeah. I think Flacco got traded back to the Browns. I think it's Browns.
He's on the Cardinals this week.
Jell, you know what's interesting, and I don't know where you're going with this, because obviously I jumped the gun.
Just looking for your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers warm-up game for getting the Packers next week.
I want to get to something first on that, and that is, do you realize that season, for everybody that's crowning Detroit, crowning Green Bay, whatever it is, you realize in that season, the New Orleans Saints to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 38-3 in one of their regular season games. I'm talking just pop, 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 pop. And I think they beat them twice. And what happened in the playoffs? Tommy Boy went down to Nolens and right back at him. it's just another reminder that just because something happens, that doesn't mean it's going to continue down that path. Just because the G&G to Detroit in the beginning of the season, and maybe Green Bay over to the Thanksgiving Day game will, doesn't mean anything. It all comes down to that playoff.
Please.
It's kind of fun. I had some fun with it. But you understand what I'm saying, and that is what was interesting about, that's where I even got the Tommy versus Drew, is because you got the old man ice, what are they calling it, the icy hot bowl?
The icy hot bowl,
or the,
yeah.
They sell ice cream? Yes, to Tausch's point.
Packs a little snug.
The New Orleans Saints beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the opener of the 2020 season, 34-23. And then on November 8th, defeated the Tom Brady-led Buccaneers 38-3. Thank you for playing. But then in the postseason, a 30-20 win as the Buccaneers beat Washington, New Orleans, Green Bay, and Kansas City on their way to
Heineke.
The title.
That Green Bay game. You know what? Everybody always looks back at that Seattle debacle. I think that Tampa debacle, it obviously ain't as painful, but ugh. As far as what we're expecting tonight, this needs to be a win for Rodgers and the Steelers. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't. Early road game, middle of the week, a lot of older players. You got the bye kind of out there. I think Pittsburgh has, they found a way. And I thought it was really important for that group, a little bit of a mercurial group, if you will, to get off to that start. And I'm going to tell you, the way things have lined up with Joey B getting hurt and Lamar J getting hurt and the Browns just stinking and never getting rid of anybody, that's, they got that guy they hired in 2016 and it completely, like, how can that dude, he needs to write a book on how to stay in a job and be completely inept. How many mistakes does that dude made? What's his name? The Moneyball dude for the Browns that's basically
Paul
running
DePodesta.
The show.
Paul DePodesta.
How is he still working there? And I'm not calling for him to be fired, but I am just amazed. He legit needs to put out a seminar to say, you know what? This is how you keep a job and you're not very good at it. I think a lot of people would sign up for that because he's 9 years in. He made one of the worst trades. They've completely bungled everything. They had the worst contract signed. They've hired and fired coaches. They've drafted guys because somebody on the street has told the owner that he should pick up Manziel. Like, I don't know what the hell is all going on. I don't know if that's in the same timeline, but it adds to the narrative. But the bottom line is, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers have gotten every break they need to win this division and make things interesting in what is only viewed as a wide-open AFC. I still don't think they'll do it, but I didn't think they'd be in this position. I thought they'd be behind both the Bengals and the Ravens.
Packers-Steelers, Super Bowl 60, Santa Clara, California.
Nope.
In February.
Who, if you had to right now, which team is more likely to go?
I don't know. Next.
Whoa, Nelly!
You just got done. You just got done illustrating how what you do in the regular season doesn't necessarily even matter because the Buccaneers got their tuckuses whipped 38-3.
Doesn't mean we can't project on our own.
No,
I'm trying to be
mindful
remember,
Jason
of the clock.
Doesn't project. He doesn't predict.
That was an
he doesn't
all time,
do that.
I don't know.
That is more annoying than, so Jason, break down training camp. What's going on at minicamp? No, nothing. All right. Glad you took off the show
kind of
skedaddled over there to get it. It was great that you gave us those insights from the sideline.
I didn't take off the
show.
Oh,
what are they doing down there? Oh, I don't know. They're throwing cones up there. I don't know.
They had an obstacle course set up, and then they aborted that mission. Next.
Can you imagine if I'm listening to Dom and Jerry on the post game show coming back from NLCS game two? Hey,
what can the Brewers really do to come back from this series? I don't know.
What'd you think of Yamamoto? I don't know.
Are you really going to compare post game analysis to those two examples?
It's a pretty simple question. The Steelers are 4-1. The Packers are 3-1-1. They're going to be setting up for a tussle next week. More than likely, they'll be 5-1. We'll be 4-1-1. Well, which team do you think? In the AFC, it's wide open. You got the Chiefs. In the NFC, you got the Lions. You got Philly. You got Tampa. What do you think? And our great 30-year veteran of the NFL, his response, Jesse?
I don't know.
There we go. Ain't going to get that. Hey, let me tell you something. Ain't getting that analysis anywhere else. I can promise you that.
Are you done?
I don't know. I don't know. I certainly hope so, but I don't know.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Give me the green light. Oh, yeah. Cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
We wrap up Wildy and Tausch as we get ready for Super Bowl 60 between the Steelers and Packers. Hey, Tausch, as of right now, between the Steelers and the Packers, which of those teams do you think is most likely to be playing in the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Who knows, right?
Good answer.
How could we possibly? The correct answer is the Green Bay Packers, and I don't think it's very close. I just don't.
I disagree.
That Kansas City, Buffalo. I would argue the only reason I would say you could even think about Pittsburgh is that what are you doing? Now you all of a sudden have an opinion?
Well, to suggest that it's such a slam dunk answer.
No, I didn't say slam dunk. I said I don't think it's that close. Not a slam dunk.
I think the AFC is a lot more wide open for the Steelers take it. The NFC is pretty top heavy between the Lions, Bucks, Eagles, and Packers. I'm sorry, I forgot about Nuthwack.
You guys keep forgetting. You understand the Chiefs are getting better and better and better. Chiefs are going to end up in the Super Bowl. You almost book it.
Yeah, but
you think the Chiefs are going to lose to the Steelers?
Mahomes
really?
Isn't retiring after the season. He's not playing with extra motivation.
I mean, they got referees calling up 30 minutes after a play's done and getting a penalty thrown, which is unheard of.
Allegedly.
I don't know about allegedly. I'll say allegedly because I don't want to get sued, but I don't know. Allegedly. Not good.
It's a good thing we've got another show tomorrow so we can focus on Packers-Cardinals. Since that game is the next one, and then the Steelers matchup is the following week.
And recapping a Brewers win.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed. We will have full discussion of the Brewers, hopefully win, over the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we'll get you ready for Packers-Cardinals on Sunday when we reconvene tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.